added a class we call Projects, and that's where we're hoping to get a lot of local support in. We're going to try to bring in people from the community.
Fewer Panthers, but more opportunities at Skagway School this year. And get your metal junk together. It's scrap metal drive time. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That news and more up next. The Panthers are back in the classroom starting Tuesday. There are fewer Skagway students starting class this year, and the first bell rings a little later this year, says Superintendent Jeffrey Thilbar.
You know, there are some changes. Like, even in the general bell schedule, we start classes at 8:20 in the morning. That's 5 minutes later than before. It was 8:15.
And that's because of a new class period added at the high school level. Elementary school will still be released at 2:40 p.m. each weekday, but the older kids can stay until 3:15.
The junior high and high school now have an opportunity for more classes. They can get more opportunity to do things like we added a class we call Projects, and that's where we're hoping to get a lot of local support in. We're going to try to bring in people from the community, artists, musicians, those kind of things, just to work with kids and teach those crafts to them. Heck, it might even be someone that's just really into mechanics and wants to come and show the kids in that class how to change their oil and change a tire, those kind of things. Just a real vocational class, which we've lacked here for quite a while.
The school's been working with the community and school board to offer more opportunities to students in hopes to bring low enrollment back up to historic levels.
Yeah, our numbers will be down again. We kind of knew that.
A student population of 150 to 200 kids years ago has dropped to 75 enrolled for this upcoming year, counting seasonal workers' kids who are expected to leave by October, a number Thielbar calls
as lowest that I, in memory, period, I think.
But with the Child Find research that involves canvassing the community for an idea of how many kids will soon be of school age, Thielbar expects this year's number to be a temporary low point.
This should be our lowest numbers year, and then they should start steadily increasing again from here.
Students will also see a few new faces among the 10 teachers, two aides, food service staff, custodian, tech person, and office staff. Thielbar explains one of the new members is from California and has worked in Alaska before.
Our science teacher, Mr. Thole, took a year's leave of absence, so we have a new science teacher in this year. He's here for 1 year. His name is Thomas DeHill. Excellent guy. Just getting in here with these 2 days with our in-services and all. He's met with Mr. Thole and getting things rolled out so that we can continue giving good science courses here.
Okay.
So that's a new staff member. We also have a new aide that's a full-time aide going to be working with our special ed department, Tanya, and she'll be doing a great job here. New from Arkansas, so we're going to get some southern drawl going around here too.
Pre-registration for Skagway School was last week, but new students can still enroll and pick out courses in the office. If anyone in the community is interested in helping with the new Projects class, contact the school office at 983-2960. It's one afternoon period a day, about an hour long, for a couple of weeks in duration. Skagway School starts Tuesday at 8:20 a.m.
I'm so excited. Get the kids in here so we can do our job.
Haines and Mosquito Lake students don't start school until the 22nd, and Clukwan School starts Tuesday, August 23rd. Registration is on Friday. Reactions to the proposed ferry schedule for next summer are mixed. In general, communities like more service and dislike reductions, but it's not that simple. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The draft of 2012's May through September sailing plan alters the fast ferry Fairweather's routes. One change has the ship stop in Angoon twice a week during its Juneau-Sitka round-trip sailings. It would replace port calls by the small ferry Lacondi along the village's Marine Highway mainstay. Maxine Thompson of Angoon serves on the state's Marine Transportation Advisory Board. She says it's the best of a limited field of choices.
In order for Angoon to resume service to Sitka, where we have the search hospital, we need to have the Fairweather because Lacondi is a day boat and we no longer have the option to use her to transport to and from Sitka.
Another fast ferry change would increase Juneau-Sitka sailings from 5 to 6 days a week. That would come at the expense of Petersburg, which would see runs cut from twice to once a week. Petersburg Mayor Al Dwyer does not like that plan.
Well, I understand that the ridership wasn't what it should have been. So that probably had a factor in making that decision. But anything that limits access to Petersburg is not good for Petersburg.
The proposed summer 2012 schedule would keep the Malaspina sailing daily among Lynn Canal communities, but it would reverse direction, starting and ending in Juneau instead of Skagway. Robert Venables of Haines, another Marine Transportation Advisory Board member, criticizes the plan.
I do have concerns with the day boat change. I've long been the champion of homeporting that in the north, and I think it works better for those communities. I did talk to the deputy commissioner who indicated that should this be implemented and not work out, that it could be revisited.
Gustavus picks up more sailings under the draft schedule. It would see four weekly Leconte stops next summer instead of the current two. The town near the entrance to Glacier Bay just began regular service last fall. Melanie Lesh, who works for the Gustavus Visitors Association, says the runs have been convenient.
We could always take our own boats back and forth, and their freight service, you know, for time immemorial to get our bulky goods out here. But being able to drive a car on and off the ferry and then do our shopping and even our maintenance, our vehicle maintenance, has been just really helpful.
She and others say more sailings would be good for tourism, but they acknowledge some residents worry about the changes increased access is bringing. One city official says traffic has increased, meaning bike lanes may need to be added. And other people are concerned about ferry travelers camping on private land without adequate sanitation facilities. Most of the summer 2012 schedule does not change. That includes the Bellingham to Whittier Express, a twice-monthly Kennecott sailing that began this summer. Advisory Board Chairman Mike Korsmo of Skagway says it's been a good addition.
It's been very successful so far, and it's taken a lot of pressure off the Columbia Run coming up, you know, out of Bellingham. And it, you know, it satisfied a lot of people that were complaining about the fact that we only had the one Bellingham run.
It stops in Yakutat, Juneau, and Ketchikan. Officials say they're working to make sure there's room for Yakutat vehicles, since the car deck can be booked far in advance. The ferry system will hold a teleconference on the proposed schedule Monday, August 22nd. Testimony from Southeast starts at 10 a.m. and from South Central and Southwest at 1:30 p.m. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
Stop for a second. Envision your storage shed, particularly the junk way back in the back that you haven't even seen for years. How about an excuse to get rid of it? Well, if it's made out of metal, you can unload it for free this weekend.
Well, if you're looking around the house, you're looking at anything made out of metal that you don't want anymore.
Melissa Aronson is with the Haines Friends of Recycling, which helps the Upper Lynn Canal purge their recyclables all throughout the year. Skagway and Haines already did electronic waste recycling just weeks ago, sending more than 15,000 pounds of the stuff out of town.
I think we're a service the community needs, and we certainly appreciate everybody's support. I don't have any specific statistics, but I think Haines per capita is probably one of the leading communities for recycling.
Now it's time for a metal cleanse, and the need is there.
I'm a little concerned that we may be a bit overwhelmed, but we'll manage.
When we say metal, we're talking about car parts, pipes, wire, appliances, electric motors, cables, chains, wheels but not tires, engines without fluids, pots and pans, and metal roofing. This year, they can also take washers and dryers for $10 and fridges and freezers for $50. The other stuff is free.
This year, we are going to be able to take freezers and refrigerators because Lowell Ellis, who's our employee, is a certified refrigeration technician, so he can take the refrigerants out, you know, in a responsible and legal way.
No pressurized tanks, fuel tanks, or canisters. Aronson says none of these things are items we want to have in our dump for a couple reasons.
Well, if you put it in the landfill, it takes up all kinds of landfill space, which is a shame, but also it's a wonderful resource. It's already been mined. All of the energy and environmental problems that go with the mining have already been done. It's out there, it's available, and it can be reused for a lot less energy than mining from scratch, and it's here. Let's use it. Let's not throw it away. Like, you know, if you've used a dollar bill once, it doesn't mean that you throw it in the trash, right?
Alaska Marine Lines donates the shipping. Volunteers donate the labor. By the way, if you can help starting Thursday, call 766-2185.
They can call or they can just show up, bring a screwdriver, bring a hammer, bring gloves.
Then a company in Seattle figures out how to turn one man's trash into another man's treasure. Last year, Haynes sent out 73,000 pounds of scrap metal in this drive. To make it easy on the volunteers helping in Haynes on Friday and Saturday, if possible, bring metal in the size that can be baled. That's around 48 inches by 38 inches or smaller.
Obviously, there's some things where that just doesn't make sense. If it can be done to that size, it really helps us.
Like washers and dryers, you don't have to cut those down, but you can dismantle them to save yourself the $10 fee.
Most people bring it in already dismantled, or if they'd like to hang around and help us dismantle the ones that come in, that'd be great, because it turns out you can take the sides of the washer and dryer and bale those. You can separate the engine out. The motor takes up a lot less room.
The third annual Haynes Scrap Metal Drive is this Friday and Saturday, August 19th and 20th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. each day at the Recycling Center, located at 2.5 Mile Mud Bay Road in Haynes. For KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld for his help with this report.